21st and foremost, next Saturday is daylight savings time. So please remember to turn your clocks ahead 1 hour next Saturday night. Also, we have put in the bulletin our novena and Thanksgiving over the course of the last few months here. We've been blessed in many ways, especially with our church and a lot of the progress that's been made. So we definitely want to offer up a novena and Thanksgiving so we can have a, in our own home or whatnot, if we could try to do a novena and Thanksgiving to Our Lady, St. Joseph, and St. Philomena. We know that, when we offer thanks to Almighty God, that's very pleasing to His Sacred Heart. Also, we wanted to thank everybody for their hard work with the pews. So the rest of the project, the staining and the varnishing, it's going to be finished by professionals. So you'll probably notice within the next week or so that the pews will be getting shipped out. But that way, we're having the last step done by the professionals. So that way, the finish and the stain will last long into the future. But then also, just an update from the bishop as well, just in regards to some of the other projects that we're working on here at church. The bishop has given us direction that after finishing the pews, our next focus should be on an air conditioning unit for here in the body of the church. So right now we do not have a central air or air conditioning in the church. And Bishop is certainly aware that come June or July, it's going to get pretty warm in here. So that's the next thing we're looking at, is trying to get a bid for that or a quote. But then after that, there were some concerns brought up in regards to the parking lot and the condition out there. So that's the third thing we're going to look at. So at this point in time, we're moving forward in this year, finishing the pews and getting those into church, and then looking at the air conditioning in the body of the church here, and possibly the hall, and then the parking lot. So there are many other projects that we can work on, but we certainly want to take care of those things which are going to be the most practical here and now, and that was from the direction of the bishop. So if there's any questions, please let me know in that regards. And then one last announcement. This coming Wednesday night at 5 p.m., we'll have a youth night here. So for those aged 16 through the mid-20s, you're invited to come for any questions and discussion. There's going to be a dinner provided, but then there'll also be some games. So that's coming here on this Wednesday night, March 10th. For any more announcements, please pick up a copy of the bulletin. The epistle that is read for the third Sunday in Lent is taken from Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God, as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity or foolish talk, or sterility which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving, for know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils. But others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But seeing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending, and will divide the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of a resting place. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. He said, Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Mary Magdalene, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, on my way up to Sartell on Friday, I made a visit to my grandmother. She's south of here a couple hours by the mall. And some of you remember on Christmas, it was Christmas midnight mass, and during the day, I made the announcement that she did not have very long left to live. But within the last 3 months, there have been many blessings and many graces. So I'm thankful for all your prayers and sacrifices, you know, especially for her health and for more time to get things in order, both in her spiritual life and in her temporal life. But when I stopped and visited with her on Friday afternoon, she told me about a phone call that she had earlier that week. She was talking with somebody else who was going through a really rough time, somebody else who was actually suffering from some health issues. And when she was talking to this other individual, that other individual, despite the difficulties, despite the crosses and the hardships they were going through, had made this comment, and this comment really stuck out in my grandmother's mind. And that comment was, everything is a blessing. Despite everything that's going on right now, it's all a blessing. So too, we can see when my grandmother heard this, she reflected upon her own life and her own sufferings, especially in the last half a year or so, and realized that these things, these sufferings, come from the hand of Almighty God. Almighty God sends us both joys, but he also sends us crosses and difficulties in this life. And it's very important that we recognize God's hand in both of them. We recognize God's hand in times are good, when things are going well. But we should also recognize God's hand when he sends us many crosses or difficulties, things that try us, things that really maybe cause us to be sorrowful or sad or to experience a lot of pain. But there is one thing that does not come from God, and that is sin. Sin does not come from God, but sin separates us from God. Venial sin slowly leads us away from God. And we know that mortal sin completely severs us from Almighty God. We can see that, as it says in Scripture, that for just even one mortal sin, just for even one mortal sin, if we die in that state, we'll lose God for all eternity. Sin separates, but we should do our very best to overcome sin, because in doing so, we attain union with Almighty God. When God dwells in our soul in a state of sanctifying grace, we are in union with God. And that's what I want to talk about today, real briefly, is simply that unity. That union with God, the union and the unity in our families, and the unity with our neighbor. We heard in Scripture in the Gospel today, it said that every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. So too in our spiritual life, if we are living at enmity with God, if we are living in sin, we have no part with God. It's said in the Epistle and Gospel today that you're either with me or you're against me. There's no halfway, there's no midway ground. And my dear friends in Christ, I pray that we all are striving to live in union with Almighty God. During the season of Lent, let us use this as a good opportunity to offer penance for our sins, to make sacrifices, to make small offerings, small mortifications. The biggest mortification, the biggest cross, Every day that comes to us is our daily duty. If we do our very best to offer up our daily duty, that is a great sacrifice. And in doing so, offering up these sacrifices of our daily duty, it makes up for the sins of our past life. It atones for our temporal punishment due to sin, but it also strengthens that union with Almighty God. That gives our soul strength over itself and unites us closer to Almighty God. So let us keep that in mind, is that our union with Almighty God, God dwelling in our soul in a state of sanctifying grace, is a very precious gift, a very precious treasure that we have to protect here in this life. The second type of union I mentioned was union in the home. We know that from growing up, whether you're young or you're old, we all desire to have peace and happiness and harmony in the home. How oftentimes in the home, if there is that peace, if it's lacking, it makes it very difficult. The home should be a sanctuary. The home should be that place where we can go to escape from the troubles of the world around us. So we should do our very best to consider and think about, is our home that sanctuary that Almighty God wants it to be? Do we have unity in our family, in our home? In order to have that unity, it's important that we have order. In the home, there has to be order. First and foremost, the husband is the head of the household. Just as Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the family. And we should recognize that. In children especially, we should pay that respect to our fathers. And then the wife, the mother, you are the heart of the home. You are the heart of the home. And the children especially recognize that aspect as well. So let's do our very best in our homes to make sure that we maintain that order. The husband is the head. The mother is the heart. In children, we have to practice obedience to our parents, respect them, and love them. The last type of union I want to mention here this morning is union with our neighbor. Our Lord tells us, love one another as I have loved you. Do good to one another. We should do our very best during the season of Lent to look for opportunities to practice charity for our neighbor. Whether that neighbor is somebody in our own family, someone that lives around us, somebody at work, or somebody even in the store. I mentioned this story this morning in the first sermon, and that was about an occasion that had come up when I was with the bishop. This was some time ago, maybe a few years back, but I went to the grocery store with the bishop. I believe it was in St. Cloud at the time. And when we were in the store, the bishop had to pick up a few things. And when we were walking, there was this lady with this strange hat on. It was just kind of an interesting hat. I believe it was knitted, but it had different colors. And the bishop picked up on that right away. And as we were walking by this lady, bishop gave her a compliment. Bishop said, "No, I like your hat, very nice hat there." And the lady had mentioned that that was the hat the hospital had given her after she had overcome cancer or some other illness similar to that. So it was very meaningful to her. It was very meaningful, and it had much value to her, just in the struggle that she had to face. But just think, just even a simple compliment like that, that's a way for showing charity, a way for showing love of our neighbor. It's important that we look for these opportunities to practice charity towards our neighbor. But we should also, like I mentioned, do our best to work on that unity in our families and in our homes. Unity is only going to come with effort and with work and prayer. Unity will not happen by itself. It's something that we have to work at. Just like in our spiritual lives, if we're going to overcome temptations, if we're going to practice virtue, we have to work at it. It takes effort. And the first step is making up our mind that with God's grace, I can do this. With God's grace, I can overcome all temptations. So we have to do that and do our very best to strive for that unity. First and foremost, our unity with Almighty God. Secondly, our union in the home, and then with our fellow neighbors. The last thing I want to mention is in regards to the last part of the gospel here today. At the end of the gospel, it talked about this person who stood up and said, "Blessed is the woman who bore thee and who nursed thee." And our Lord had said, "Yea, rather, blessed is, that person who hears the word of God and who keeps it." Our Lord was not speaking down about our Blessed Mother. Our Lord certainly recognized what great honor it is to have been this mother. He recognized and he acknowledged that it is a great honor for his mother. But she is more honored for the fact that she heard the word of God and she kept it. And so too for each and every one of us. I pray that during this time that we prepare for Easter, that we all pray to know God's will and we pray to do God's will. It's one thing for us to know what God wants us to do. It's another thing for us to actually do it. So let's make it a point to strive for that union with Almighty God, with our families, and with our neighbors. If we do this, God will bless us and help us. So moving forward, our focus should be on Easter. Easter's going to be coming here within a matter of a few weeks. It's not very far off. And what a blessing we have here in the church, being able to have Easter here this year. We know that last year, Easter looked a lot different. If you remember last year, there were not very many people in the church on Easter, and that was all over the country, not only in our own church here, by St. Cloud and Sartell. So what a blessing it is that we're able to have this beautiful church and that we're going to be able to attend for Easter. So let us keep our focus on Easter. Let us keep our focus on that which is to come. Let's use the remaining weeks we have left for Lent to practice that union and charity. And remember, everything is a blessing. All things that come to us, whether good or bad, come to us by the hand of Almighty God. St. Alphonsus Liguori had said, "It's easy for us to bless God when things go well. It's easy for us to thank God when things go the way we want them to go. But it takes a real saint to thank God when he sends us crosses and difficulties and struggles and trials." So I pray that you strive to become that saint that recognizes that everything is a blessing, all things that come from God, except sin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.